The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast, and thanks so much for listening. This week I have a great interview with Eric Schanauer, one of the creators behind the Oz series of novel translations for Marvel, and also Age of Bronze, a great historical book that I'm really enjoying, and I think you will too if you haven't sampled it yet. We talk about how Oz has impacted his life, as well as other projects he's got coming, so I'm sure you're going to want to listen. Then everything wraps up with a news story that has special interest for me, and hopefully you too. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I'm talking today with Eric Schanauer, creator of such wonderful things as The Age of Bronze, and also the scripter for the Oz series of comics, translated from the original novels. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing great, Wayne. Thanks.
Great. It's good to talk with you. I've loved the Oz books for so long, and Age of Bronze as well. So why don't we start with the Oz books? And I noticed that you tend to do these adaptations and things like that. They seem to be very literary in nature. Not everybody can do that. You know, a lot of people look at these books and they're unable to translate it into a comic format. Was it a challenge when you first took on the Oz books to do that?
Actually, no. It was not that much of a challenge. I've been an Oz fan ever since I was 6 years old, and I've loved the Oz books. And I've actually been doing some sort of Oz project professionally since I began being a professional cartoonist. I had my own series of Oz graphic novels in the 80s. I've illustrated a bunch of Oz books. I've even written one that was published by a small press. So that's actually one of the reasons, I believe, why Marvel contacted me and asked me to write the adaptations of Baum's Oz books for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this familiarity with the source material, so it felt very natural to adapt them to comics. You know, I've been a professional cartoonist. I understand the comics medium, and transferring the Oz Baum's prose into comics was just very natural feeling for me.
Very good. Well, it feels that way. When I read the books, of course, I haven't read the novels. So for me, you're filling in a gap when it comes to the Oz legends. Well, I get to read these wonderful stories, and the art is great, too. I mean, you and the artists work really well together.
Right.
And every time a series is out, I'm buying the individual issues, and then when the hardcover comes out, I buy that.
Right.
So I can keep it, because I just love the way that it's put together.
Right.
So which books have you done so far? How many of the novels have you translated thus far?
The first six Oz books in the series, beginning with The Wizard of Oz, then The Land of Oz, Ozma of Oz, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, The Road to Oz, and The Emerald City of Oz, which is the final one we're doing. It was in five issues as comics, and then the graphic novel's coming out on Wednesday from Marvel.
Great. Did I hear you right that you're not going to do these anymore?
No. Marvel has pretty much said, okay, that's it. Scotty Young, the artist, is on to other projects. I'd be happy to do more if Marvel wanted to,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
nuts, because I've been enjoying those so much. I really tell people I'm a fan of the fringe, what I call the fringe comics of Marvel. You know, the Spider-Man and all that stuff doesn't interest me as much as the third tier and some of these other books that are not considered, you know, quote-unquote Marvel comics. So
right,
I'm really
yeah.
sorry to hear We're not, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm really happy we got as far as we did. There was no guarantee at any point that we would be going on to the next one, so I'm really glad we got as far as six. When I was working on the first one, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, the idea that we would ever get that far was just almost, it seemed impossible. So I'm very proud that we actually did six of them.
Wow, that's great. Now, it's the hardcover coming out this Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, so guess where I'll be. I'll be in the bookstore after that because I like that so much. So you're pretty much happy with what you got done then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm very proud of the series, and I think the work of my collaborators is just delightful. I think Scotty's artwork really carried the project very well, and the coloring by Jean-François Beaulieu I thought was just absolutely terrific, and every time, you know, the Eisner nominations came out and he wasn't on the list, I was just, I couldn't believe that he was never nominated for his work on the Oz books.
Yeah, because it's fanciful is the word I like to use for it. It's, you know, his artwork matches the story quite nicely, just as well as your script. And I always just love to be able to pick those up, and I'm just so disappointed. I was looking forward. Were there other novels that you didn't translate?
Actually, there are 40 books in what's considered the official Oz series. The author, L. Frank Baum, who created Oz, wrote 14, and then other authors continued the series after his death for the publisher. Ideally we could do all 40 of them. I was hoping beyond hope that we get through at least the first 14 by L. Frank Baum. But that doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Nuts. Well, I'm real disappointed by that.
But like I said, there's six of them out there, and that's so much farther than I ever thought we'd get.
That's six more than what we had, so we have to be, you know, grateful for that, because I just thought that you carried the story so nicely. That I think the Ozma of Oz, is that the one where the girl, I don't want to spoil things if people haven't read them, but that girl actually turns out to be your...
That's the second one.
That's the second one. Okay. Land of Oz. Okay. That surprised me. I have to say, I was shocked when I read that. So you guys did a great job of storytelling on that one. I remember turning the page and going, what?
Yeah.
That was great. I loved that so much.
Well, that's the original story. I didn't change much in these. Basically, I was just trying to adapt the original stories to comics. So they're very faithful to the original books. And, you know, that big surprise at the end of the second book, that's from 1904.
Wow.
That's what happened.
That was great. I just, I loved it all. And so this Wednesday, and the one that's out this week is which one?
The Emerald City of Oz.
Okay, so I encourage people to get out there and get this one. If you haven't gotten the previous ones, especially if you have kids, I think, I would recommend these books because they're just so great. I mean, even adults and children both, I think, can enjoy these so well. So you did a tremendous job on the Oz books, and I'm really happy that I've got a nice collection of them to keep.
Thank you, Wayne.
Well, why don't we go on then to Age of Bronze, which is another book that you've done a lot of work on. And again, another literate type of book, and I always like that. Now, my understanding is there are four trades of this out at this point?
That's correct.
Okay. Thousand Ships was the first one, I think. Sacrifice, Betrayal, 1 and 2.
Yes.
So what got you into the Age of Bronze?
Well, I listened to a lot of books on tape or books on – now they're books on CD or just on the computer while I'm working, while I'm inking or painting. And back in – 91, I was listening to a book called The March of Folly from Troy to Vietnam by Barbara Tuchman. And her chapter on Troy made me realize that there were many, many different versions of the story of the Trojan War, and many of them are contradictory. And I just thought it would be a really interesting idea to take all the different versions of the Troy story and put them all together into one big long one, and also set it in the correct time period. Because comics is a visual medium, I would be able to show people the architecture, the costumes, the hairstyles, stuff like that. I just thought that would be a really interesting project. So that's what I've been doing for a long time now.
Well, my understanding, it debuted in 1998, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great story, very historical, and it's nice to see something like that. Now, this is it still ongoing black and white?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's good. Because in a way, that engages your imagination a little more, which I always like. Sometimes if it's too well colored and too thin, you get kind of, you know, you don't get to engage in the story as well, and your imagination kind of fills in the gaps when you're doing this. So, I mean,
There is a color version.
Oh?
It's an app.
Oh.
So there's an app for iPad of Age of Bronze. It's called Age of Bronze Scene. The regular series is published by Image Comics. The app is published by Throwaway Horse. Hmm. It's only up to issue 4, I think, on the app. Issue 5 is ready to go. I don't think it's out yet.
Okay. Making a note to myself because I'm going to be after that. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm not the colorist for the color version. Colorist is John Dallaire, but I oversee his color very closely, so everything's approved by me. So if anybody out there is concerned that there's colors in the color version of Age of Bronze that I'm not approving, that's not the case. I have to approve everything. It's also annotated. Every page has an annotation by Tom Beasley, and he does a great job of bringing out the sources that I've used and how I've put the sources together and how I've emphasized things. He's very scholarly, but also the writing is very conversational. So that's another feature of the app.
Oh, I like that a lot. Now, even in the book, I remember, I think you had footnotes and stuff in the comic, if I remember.
In the editorial pages, I often mention my sources, but you know, I'm not that interested in the sources, and I'm so glad they got that the app publisher got someone else to write the annotations, because I'm just not. You know, I've done tons and tons of research on both the story and the archaeology of what the artifacts we have, and the story, you know, when I write it, got all these different strands just go into one thing for me, that which turns out to be my version, Age of Bronze. And for me to go back and try to reconstruct how I got to what I got, it would just be really difficult for me.
Ah.
So I'm glad they're having someone else annotate it.
Well, you did all the research already, so you know in your head what you want to tell. So to go back and try to get all these things in there might be a little harder because, you know, now that you've done all the research, it's a little hard to go back and re-find everything, seems to me.
Yeah, it's like if you make soup, once the soup is done, it's soup. If you had to separate all the parts of the soup out, that would be a very tedious task.
Oh, man, that would be tough. So how often does the Age of Bronze come out? Because you've got 4 out of 7 are out right now.
Actually, I only have 2 2/3 out of 7 out because the third volume is actually broken into 3 parts because it's taking so long. The publisher thought it would be good to have books out a little more regularly. So we're into the 3rd part of 7, but there's been 2 volumes out, part 1 and part 2 of Betrayal, which is the 3rd section of Age of Bronze.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been slowing down a lot in the last, I don't know, few years. So it's not as regular as it used to be. But I'm still working on it almost every day, so it's just slower.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing the art as well as the writing, right?
Yes, I do everything on it except actually publish it.
That's going to slow you down some.
Well, it's a meticulous thing, and the battle scenes take me a long time to draw.
Mm. You did obviously a lot of research. As far as the characters go and the battles and things like that go, I mean, how accurate are you to the historical accounts, or do you sometimes have to jigger it a little bit to make it fit the comics format?
Well, the story of the Trojan War, I mean, we have very little historical basis for the actual story. We know there were conflicts in that area of the Near Eastern Aegean world at the time, which is the Late Bronze Age. But whether there was actually a person named Achilles who existed or a woman named Helen who existed, who knows? There's just no way for us to ever really know whether those people ever really existed. But the actual settings and what they wear and the armor and the weapons and stuff like that, I try to make as accurate as I possibly can. I mean, I can't claim that this is exactly what it looked like, but from the artifacts that archaeologists have recovered and what we know about the times from surviving literary texts, which, you know, are totally open to interpretation, I'm doing the best I can to present what I hope is an authentic picture of what the Trojan War might have looked like if it really happened.
Have you ever contacted any sort of historians familiar with that era?
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay.
Age of Bronze has brought me into contact with a lot of classicists, a lot of archaeologists, some of whom I now count as pretty good friends. So, yeah, have been in that world. I get asked to speak at classics departments at colleges and universities, a few times a year usually. And I've been to Troy. I know a lot of the archaeologists who have worked there. So, yeah. And, all that has happened to me because I decided I was going to do this project in comics. I didn't know any of this stuff before I began Age of Bronze.
Do you ever take your comics with you when you go on and speak?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're asked. Okay. When I get asked to speak, it's because of Age of Bronze. So I show them. I'm usually doing a PowerPoint show, and I show them images and how I've taken the archaeology, how I've taken the literary tradition and woven that all together into what I'm doing. And, if I'm speaking to a college or university class, they're young people, and a lot of them have read comics, and some of them even know Age of Bronze before I get there, and some of them have no idea, but they go, oh, this is really cool. And because it's a more popular thing than the lectures they often get, which may be dry and very academic, I'm usually a pretty popular speaker.
Oh, great. Well, it sounds good. And you, as with Oz, you have a way of making it accessible to general readers. You don't have to be an intellectual, with quotes around it, in order to be able to understand the story. And I think that's a great thing.
Right.
I wish more books were like that, to be honest with you.
Well, comics are a popular medium. We're supposed to tell stories. I want people to understand my stories. I want people to enjoy them. That's what they're there for. I'm sure Age of Bronze or Oz is not going to be everybody's taste, but I think generally, if you like stories, you're going to at least like something in the projects that I work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mix character and action real well, I think, too.
Thanks.
And you're making the story, again, it's not too dull. Some certain writers who I won't name tend to spend a lot of time in the dialogue of things, and you balance it out much better than some people I know do. And so to me, I really like that you do that, because when there is exposition to be made, you make it interesting in the presentation, and when the action goes on, it's really, it's eye-popping to me. It's gripping to look at. So I'm really stuck on this book, and I really enjoy it, and I recommend it to people, especially if they like literate-type books.
Thank you, Wayne.
Now, where we stand right now with Age of Bronze, you said there are three graphic novels out now?
There are four, but the third and the fourth one are part one and part two of the third section.
Okay.
I know it's confusing. It doesn't really matter. There are four books out if anybody's looking for them.
Okay, and so you probably have four more to go, roughly?
Well, I've got the third part of part three, and then part four is probably going to be three parts as well, too, so I don't know how many books are going to be total.
Okay.
There's going to be seven volumes in the end, and several of the volumes are going to be split up into parts.
Yeah. Well, it's great.
I'm probably totally confusing everybody with that.
Oh, no, I get it. You've got the one and two or one and two, but then when you get into the other ones, probably the story is much more involved, so you're having to have more parts in order to get the story told as we get into the war itself. So that makes sense to me. I figure other folks will be able to get that, too. And I do highly recommend it. It is such an interesting book, and it's so different from the usual Long John stuff. And I love my Long John stuff, but I'm a big proponent of variety. And so for me, like Age of Bronze is just a wonderful thing. It's a little closer to reality than some of the stuff we're reading, and I just think that's a wonderful thing. When you finally get done with Age of Bronze, I hope there's another reality situation you want to get into, because it fulfills me in order to be able to read something that's historical and accurate like that. So I think it's a great thing.
Thank you. I just want people to like the story. I hope people enjoy it. I'm just trying to tell a really great story, because the Trojan War is it's a story that's lasted for thousands of years, so there's pretty good meat to it, and I'm just trying to do my best in the long tradition of presenting the story and bring my version into the 21st century so that a modern-day audience can relate to it in a very immediate way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to the rest of the books coming out because it's good reading and great fun to do. Now, the one thing about this, and maybe I'm forgetting something, but the Trojan horse business is part of the Trojan War, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's toward the end of the story, so I won't be getting to that for a while, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that is in common vernacular. The Trojan horse idea just goes on and on. People love to talk about that concept, and so I see it in science fiction. I see it in other stories and in history stories. And when I started to read this, I thought, man, the Trojan horse has got to show up here somewhere. It's got to be in there.
Yeah, it'll be there. I'll get to it eventually. I'll get to the whole thing eventually.
Is it frustrating sometimes when you've got this great big powerful story to tell, and you can only do a certain amount at a certain time? Does that frustrate you? You wish you could get the whole thing out there?
You know, there are certain parts of the story that I really like and I want to get to, and I just tell myself, just keep doing the next panel, just keep doing the next page, and you'll get there. And mm-hmm. I think back to early days when, say, for instance, the Sacrifice of Iphigenia, which is an episode that happens in book two. And I was like, oh, I want to get there. That's such a great part of the story. And mm-hmm. I did, and I've gotten through it, and it's done. So I know that the rest of the good parts of the story that I'm really looking forward to, I will get to eventually.
Are you pretty happy with the response from like comic readers as well as people who are interested in history?
Yes. Yeah. It's been really great.
Mm-hmm. So that's good.
It's gotten me a couple Eisner Awards, so I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, that's great. See, that's one of the nice things about this is that I think it's actually going to draw some people who might not otherwise read comics into the comic store to find these books.
Oh, yes, yes. I know that it already has.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that because I think comics, for a long time, they were really narrowed down to superhero stuff. And if you didn't like superheroes, there was basically nothing else out there in the comic stands for you. And so to see like Age of Bronze and to see things like other things that Image is doing and so many other wonderful things, it's so good to see comics sort of spreading their wings and being able to tell other stories and not just people with capes.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That's sort of the same thing with another project that I'm working on now, which isn't out yet, but has been announced, so I can talk about it. It's
good.
A series for IDW. It's Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's based on the original comic strip, but we're bringing it up into 2014. So I'm the writer. Gabe Rodriguez, who drew Lock and Key, is the artist.
Ooh.
And I've seen some of his work for the first issue, and it's really, really beautiful. So
wow.
I just... If this book doesn't get some really good acclaim, it's certainly not going to be Gabe's fault, and mm-hmm. I hope people enjoy it.
Well, it sounds interesting. Again, this is a kind of a legend thing that you're updating, and I think there's so much to be mined from all these previous, like decades ago, like pulp heroes are now experiencing some kind of a revival, and I think all this kind of stuff, you know, I start telling people about Pogo the Possum, and some people go like, I never heard of that, what's that? You know, so
well,
I just think there's...
Keep telling them because it's great and people should read it.
Yeah, I love it. When he calls people human beans, like beans, lima beans type stuff, and I always get a huge kick out of that. And sometimes I say, oh, you're a good human being. And they look at me like, what? But I think that those things were so ahead of their time. I think even now if you read them, they're still great. But
yeah, I love Pogo by Walt Kelly. Go out and read it if you haven't.
Yeah, it's wonderful stuff. Now, you mentioned a project that you're working on. Are there other projects that we should know about?
Yeah, I've always got something to do other than Age of Bronze, which is a constant in my life. I just finished a short comic story for an anthology. I'm not sure of the title. I don't think it's been titled yet, but it's an anthology about guns. Mm. It's edited by Michael Cart, and I think it's coming out from HarperCollins. I don't know what the publication date is, though. I did a comic story, but it's mostly going to be prose text stories. I'm not sure I can talk about the other contributors because I don't know what the state is, but it will be out sometime in the future, a young adult anthology about guns from HarperCollins.
You don't know the name of it yet?
I don't know if it's even got a title yet.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that because I think that'll be fun. Anything else that we should know about?
Well, totally comics unrelated. I am producing a stage musical. It is called The TikTok Man of Oz. It was written by L. Frank Baum, the author of the Oz books, and first presented back in 1913 in Los Angeles. It toured the country and Canada until around 1914. We are restaging it for the Saturday night program for a local Oz convention here in San Diego in August. And I'm the producer, so I've had to find the director, the musical director, the choreographer. We're running auditions beginning of April. I have to run a Kickstarter campaign to actually raise some money for it. And we're planning that right now. But it's all on my shoulders. It's my responsibility to get this whole thing actually on the stage so that the audience, we're going to have about 275 people in the room, actually see this thing. And it's got like 23 songs, and it's going to run about 2.5 hours, I think.
Oh, wow. Now, I regret that I'm on the other side of the country. I'd love to be able to go see it. Any chance that you can film it, or is that going to be something that's going to be a problem? Because if you could put out, like, DVDs of it, that would be fun for the rest of us.
No, we're not going to be commercially releasing a DVD. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds wonderful. Anybody out there, I encourage them to go out and support this, because you never know. You might get to take this show across the country. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I don't know about that. We're just doing it for one night. That's going to be enough for me. If someone whose business is actually theater production is interested, sure, give me a call. I'm happy to turn over all the materials. I'm a cartoonist, though. I'm not going to be turning into a full-time theater producer.
Well, it's still kind of fun for you to be able to flex your wings in other ways.
Oh, yeah. And being a big Oz fan, this is a really fun project for me, because the music is great, and I just love doing stage stuff too. It's sort of that's hobby side of my life. And if anyone's interested, it's going to be the Saturday night program of the WinkyCon 50, which is the 50th annual Winky convention here in San Diego. The URL is ozconinternational.com.
Oh, cool. Now, is this the original music from the original stage play, or is this a new one?
No, everything's restored. I've had to abridge the script slightly because there's so much music. We're doing all the surviving music. And stage plays used to be such that they would put songs in, take songs out over the run. And we're doing all the songs that survive all in one evening. So I've had to cut the script down a little bit.
Wow. Well, it sounds like great fun. I wish I could be there. It sounds like such a great thing. And I guess they go to that website in order to be able to get tickets?
Yeah, the tickets to the full conference guarantee you a Saturday night seat at the show.
Oh, neat. Oh,
so
man.
It's not a separate ticket for the show.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a great thing. I hope it goes extremely well. I wouldn't mind if it turns into something bigger. Anything else we should know about?
Oh, what else am I doing? Yeah, there's some exciting stuff that's coming up, but I can't really talk about it because I haven't had a contract. A company is running a Kickstarter campaign right now to raise money for an Oz tarot deck, and I'm contracted to illustrate several of the cards for their Oz tarot card deck.
Wow.
But we'll see if this... The Kickstarter campaign, I think, is going to be successful, so I'll probably end up doing it. But with Kickstarter, you never know for sure until the last day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be cool if that could happen, because that sounds like fun, too.
Yeah.
So, man, Oz is a big part of your life, I can honestly tell.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's like too much sometimes, you know. I sit... Sometimes it's just like... I just want to do anything to get out of Oz. in the mid-90s, I had done a bunch of Oz graphic novels in the late 80s, early 90s, and when I did the last one, I'm just like, I'm done. No more Oz stuff. But all these other projects come along, people ask me to do stuff, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Another Oz thing. I'll do that. And so at this point in my career, I've just sort of resigned myself. I'll always be involved in some project on some level with Oz. But you know, Age of Bronze right now is my baby, my big thing, where most of my mental energy goes. So that'll end someday. I don't know what's next after Age of Bronze. That's still quite a long ways off. Mm-hmm. But I'll always be doing something.
That's good. Well, keep it up, because we need to have more of that. Now, I got one more question for you, because you're one of the folks in the comics industry who can both write and draw. And it seems like people want you to write a lot more these days than draw. Do you have a preference which one that you'd rather do, or do them both together?
Oh, it's, you know, I like doing both. The projects that are nearest and dearest to my heart are the ones that I both write and draw. I'm happy to both the Oz projects for Marvel and the Little Nemo for IDW. I was approached by the publisher, and they already had the idea for someone else to draw it. So it wasn't like I had the choice. I could either say yes, I'll write it, or no, I won't write it. And you know, there were projects that seemed very appealing to me, so I took them. I liked writing. I liked drawing. It just depends upon the project. Whatever the project is requires, whatever's open. If the project appeals to me, I'll take whatever's offered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say again, you do such a wonderful job of that. I like to, anything that you come out with, I'm after, because it's wonderful. The art is great and the writing is great. So I have a hard time deciding which one you do better. So I think that's a good thing.
I need to have you on a recording, Wayne. When I get really depressed and like, oh, I can't draw anymore, just play your voice telling me how great I am. Thank you.
Well, it'll be out on the podcast.
Okay.
You can always listen to that.
Okay.
That'll
that's a good idea.
You. Well, Eric, great talk with you, and looking forward to more good things from you in the future. So a lot of success as you go forward.
Thank you very much, Wayne, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to you.
To Oz?
To Oz.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We're here, he is the wizard of a wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. One news item that I think is important for you all to know, and that's because I'm a big fan of a lot of the Cartoon Network projects that have come out over the years. And a press release was posted recently on MajorSpoilers.com, of course, and I'm going to read a little bit of it to you because I think it's going to be something interesting. When an unstoppable evil spreads across the universe, heroes across time and space will be summoned together to face a threat that none of them could have possibly dealt with on their own. In Super Secret Crisis War, and doesn't that remind us of certain comics of the past, the fate of the universe will depend upon a stoic warrior, a kid hero, a mad scientist, a fearsome trio of lab experiments, and Ed, and Eddie. It's going to start in June, and it's going to be something to see, because we've never seen these characters interact with each other. So it's going to be something to enjoy, I think, especially if you enjoy the characters as much as I do. It's going to be a 6-issue event, and will feature the Herculean heroes going toe-to-toe against the nefarious nemesis Aku, Vilgax, Mandark, Mojo Jojo, and probably a couple of others in there too, attempting to take over the universe. So, something to be aware of. I think you're going to get a kick out of as much as I am. It's going to be from IDW, and it might be $3.99 cover price. So be sure to keep that on your radar, and look forward to Super Secret Crisis War. And that's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have an interview with Brian Joynes, the creator of the Krampus miniseries. I'm a big holiday fan, and I just learned about Krampus a couple of years ago, and it's great to see him getting some comics play. So we'll get to talk with Brian about that. But until then, keep reading your comics.